Good morning. Appreciate that scripture reading. Comes from Genesis. Moment, what we want to do. We're not calculating in our mind. We are releasing and venting from our heart. Let's talk about the cost of sin here. In this account, Abel is dead. Right? When a loved one dies, a close relative, whoever that may be, you go into the funeral home and you look into the casket and you see the finality of death. Right? There's no coming from that. Abel's gone. Again, there's no more sibling rivalry. There's no more bickering. There's no disagreeing. There's no sit around and playing games. That's it. Abel's dead. It's gone. Over and done with. Anything that you could have done, said, reconciled with your brother, any chance of that is done. It's over with. Sin has consequences. When we unleash sin, and we want to take it back, we can't. We tell ourselves that what we do doesn't affect other people, when in fact, everything we do affects other people. Cain here says to God, whoever finds me will kill me. So who was Cain talking about here? Who was going to actually come and find him? You know, he wasn't referring to some lawman in the distance that's going to come hunt him down, right? It's his family. He's closely related to everyone on earth at this given time. So it's not just his relationship with Abel that's severed. It's his entire family. His sisters, his children down the road, and the ripple effect that that will cause and how it affects people down the line. No one will ever see him the same. And sometimes that's a reason that we don't admit our sin. We want to keep it bad in the dark because we think if people only knew the way I was, it would change them. And if they knew what I did wrong, they wouldn't accept me. Well, the important thing here is it doesn't matter what they know or not know. God still knows. We can hide it from people, but God still knows. And the only way to have the hope of reconciliation is to stop the deception. Right? Bring it into the light and be right with God and with man. We see as a result of sin, Cain became a wanderer and a vagrant. It's kind of a hard thing to do when you're a tiller of the ground, right? When you're a farmer, you need to stay, you need to work the land because you're connected to it. You stay, you sow, and you reap the eventual harvest. Cain's life went from being stable to being unstable, and it's exactly what sin does. It takes our life from being stable to unstable. You know, people sometimes can be jealous or covet the life of others who just do whatever they want, right? Wouldn't that be nice to just live my life however I want, give in to any temptation that I would want? And it's not. It's terrible, right? These people, I'm sure, look over their shoulder all the time, and something eventually comes out, and they're caught in that fault. So the only way to deal with the sin is just to deal with it. This removed Cain from the presence of the Lord. He was upset with God for not accepting his sacrifice, and he was able to have a conversation with him. Just imagine that. Just imagine that intimate relationship that you had, and you just forfeited. You completely gave up. You did wrong because of your actions, because of your heart, and God says to you, just do well, right? But he didn't take advantage of that. He squandered that. He says, but now because he did not listen, he's cast out from the presence of the Lord. Right? He had a good thing, and he gave that all up because he chose to make bad decisions. The early chapters of Genesis, it shows us the further and further instability and distance between God and man because of sin. They start off where God walked among them. We see that Adam sins, and he's cast out of the garden. We see where Cain sins, right? And he's cast from the presence of the Lord. And then you get down to the days of Noah and Genesis 6:6, and where you read, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And it's not too hard to see the domino effect of how sin just destroys a nation, destroys a family. Right? It not only destroys relationships among people, it destroys the most and only relationship that's important between you and your God. It led to irreversible loss, instability, and a fearful expectation. The only relationship with God at that point is one of fearful expectation. What does the blood of Abel speak? In Genesis 4:10 says, God stated it is crying to him out of the ground. What's it cry about? It cries of sin. And this was never God's final destiny. As we see in Hebrews 12:22-24, it says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem and to the myriads of angels. To the general assembly in the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. God's desire was for a blood that was shed that didn't speak about the sin but spoke of love. God loves you, each very much, and you matter. If you're not a Christian, the only blood that you have is the blood of Abel. What cries out of your sins, and God knows all the sins. There's nothing hidden from his eyes. Or if you're a Christian and you're doing that thing, you're trying to hide it. What do we remember from the account of Cain, right? Cain also tried to hide it from God. And for a time, he thought maybe he could get one over on God until God started asking questions. So maybe you're outwardly living that life, right? That we would all agree with. You put on a pretty good show. But you know full well that inwardly you're full of darkness that you're hiding, and there's sin that you're just not dealing with. There's a blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel, and there's a pathway back, right? For lost, there's a pathway back. You don't have to be a wanderer. You don't have to be a vagrant like we read about with Cain. We can help you become a Christian if you have not done that already, to repent, to have the encouragement, to have the strength of the brethren here to lift you up in prayer and encourage you any way we can. If you're subject to the gospel call at this time, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.